So all the month of May, we love you. We love the word of God in you. We love what you and your precious wife and children are doing. We're just going to pray for him right now. I want you to extend your hand toward him and pray for his family, the way that lies before him, that he walks in the anointing and blessing of God, and that all that he does, he'll be a blessing to everyone that he touches. God, let the fire of God reside in this man. Let the word of God come forth in anointing and power in his life. Cause them, O God, to walk in the midst of your calling and your anointing. We ask it in the name above every name, in Jesus' name. Praise God. So everyone who comes through leaves some of themselves. I think we add something to you. And there's this cross-pollination that happens. Good or bad or indifferent, it happens. But in this occasion, I think it's good. You've left good things with us. We appreciate your ministry. We love the Word of God, and we love preachers. And we appreciate you being used of God, Brother Wells. I want you to come tonight on this final night of revival. I want you to come. And just whatever the Holy Ghost is telling you, we love you and appreciate you so very much tonight.
Thank you very much. Amen, amen, amen.
Hallelujah. Ain't God good? Amen. What a good time to be living for God. I want to be doing the will of God. Whatever happens in future happens. Amen. It's good to be here. I love this church, and the more I am with you, the more I like you, love you, and that's not true everywhere. Amen. Some places your hat's on fire to leave, but it's been good to be here. Thank you for all your kindness. You know, kindness is something that doesn't cost a lot. It sure does pay dividends. And all of you are so kind. And my heart's full. My spirit's full. Wherever God takes me, part of you will go there with me. Several times in this revival, I've written things down that speak to me in your endeavors to do the work of God and to do the will of God. And hallelujah. Who knows what the future holds? God does. Amen. God does. It's good to be here. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 14. And as Brother Sutton said, and I thank you for your prayers. Continue to pray for me and my family. God walks us through transition, whatever that may be. And amen. As long as he's with us, everything will be all right. Amen. I believe my wife is tuned in. I'm beginning to wonder about my home church. They were out an hour before we were this morning, and they're not even having church tonight. So amen. Pray for them. Hallelujah. But no, I'm just kidding. But my wife is tuned in. Hallelujah. I love her. Appreciate her. Exodus chapter 14. I want to say directly to him, Brother and Sister Sutton, I love and appreciate them very much, their ministry in my life. And hallelujah. Many things we could say. Thank you. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you for believing in revival. Amen. And some of that got imparted into me along the way. And hallelujah. Exodus chapter 14. What I'm going to preach tonight, I've never preached. So you guys get to try it out first. And it's been in my spirit for a few weeks. I've tried to kind of hold off till I had it all worked out, but I can't get away from it tonight, so we're going to preach our way through it. How about that? Amen. Exodus chapter 14, verse number 19. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them. But it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land. The waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Amen. The Bible says that God, where I want to preach tonight, caused a strong east wind to blow all night. Amen. I want to preach the help of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The wind is blowing. Amen. The wind is blowing. Let's ask the Holy Ghost to help us. Father, we trust you. We lean upon you tonight. We lean upon your word. We lean upon your spirit. We lean upon the truth of the word of God that endures to all generations. God, I pray tonight that you would speak to every heart. Speak to my spirit. Speak to my mind. Comfort us, I pray. In Jesus' name, we ask it. And everyone shout amen. Amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. The story of the Exodus is one of the greatest stories in history. In fact, it is, if you are attempting to discover the biblical model for revival in a church, the biblical model for revival in a human being, in an individual's life, the Exodus is the blueprint. Come up out of Egypt and go into the land of promise. Amen. It is what God intends for people to come up out of sin and to go into a new life, walking, amen, through his goodness and through his blessings and through his provision. Amen. And so you can preach it, and it is preached, and many have preached it and will preach it. How God brought his people out of Egypt. Amen. You don't have to think very long to realize that Egypt is always a type of sin. It's always a type of bondage. It's always a type of the ligatures that would bind us to our trouble and bind us to our bondage and our oppression. And it is God's will and it is God's aim to reach down into Egypt with a mighty hand. Amen. When his people begin to cry to him, and when we begin to cry to him for deliverance and for his salvation to come, amen, his spirit, the strong hand of God, reaches down into Egypt and picks us up and brings us out, no matter how long we've been there, no matter how bad we're bound down there. Hallelujah. Can anybody say amen tonight? Amen. I don't know about you, but I've seen the hand of God deliver people from Egypt. Amen. I've seen the hand of God deliver people from sin. People that couldn't get off of drugs, no matter what they tried. But just one time in an apostolic altar. Amen. Because God knows how to reach down and pick us up and bring us out. Amen. I wonder, is there anybody here tonight that would testify? He reached down into the world. He reached down into sin. He reached down into trouble. He lifted me out of my bondage, out of my distresses, out of my sin, and he brought me out of darkness. Hallelujah. And so it is with that in mind that God delivered his people. He brought them from Egypt. We have not the time to go through it all here tonight. The 10 plagues that God wrought upon Pharaoh and Egypt to convince them to let his people go. They were a people that had been in bondage. for over 400 years. Their mindset had become a mindset of slavery. They had no cognition of freedom. They had no thought process of freedom or deliverance. They didn't know how to act in deliverance. They didn't know anything about being free. All they had ever known for at least three generations was bondage and captivity and the harsh rule of Pharaoh and his taskmasters. And so the Bible tells us that God delivered his people in one night. He brought them out of Egypt. In one night, the Bible tells us, after the Passover, they went from slaves to free in one night. They went from paupers to rich people in one night. The Bible said they spoiled the Egyptians. They borrowed silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron and all kinds of things. They borrowed that night. And the Bible said that God told them to borrow those things and don't ever think about paying them back. Amen. Hallelujah. And so they come out of Egypt by the hand of God. They go out rejoicing. The Bible said in the book of Numbers, they went out with a high hand. They were shouting. They were dancing. They were delivered. Amen. They come out of Egypt. They go into the wilderness. They're on their way to a promised land. They're on their way to a place that's been prophesied for many, many years. When Joseph himself prophesied that one day God would visit his people and take them out of that land and return them to the land of Canaan. Amen. The Bible says that his body was embalmed and put in a coffin, but it was not buried. And it was one condition of his burial that when you go, when the Lord visits you, when the Lord brings you out of Egypt, take my bones back home. Take my bones back to the land that God gave us. Don't bury me in Egypt, but bury me in God's place of promise. And so the Bible tells us that that people went out of Egypt. They carry in a coffin. They're dancing and rejoicing. They're on their way to blessing. They're on their way to promise. They're on their way to provision that they've never even dreamed about. They're on their way to houses they didn't build. They're on their way to vineyards they didn't plant. They're on their way to wells they didn't dig. They're on their way to blessing. They're on their way to favor. They're on their way to the goodness of God. Oh, it makes me want to preach a little bit tonight. I didn't come out of sin and I didn't give up anything. Amen. I came out of sin to get more than I ever dreamed I could have. I came out of bondage to get more than I ever thought was possible. Amen. I didn't give anything up to serve God. I came out of sin and I got more than I ever dreamed. I didn't give it in. I traded it in. I got a better model. I got a better goodness. I got a better life than the life I was living. So they come out of Egypt rejoicing, shouting, dancing, with a high hand of happiness and a high hand of victory. And they shouting, rejoicing. They go out of Egypt and they come to the wilderness. The Bible said that God instructed them to camp by the sea. And they camp in the wilderness, the Bible says, before Pihahiroth, against Baal Zephon, between Migdol and the sea, wherever that is. They're encamped by the sea. The Bible talks about it later on that they were in a passageway, if you will, with mountains on the sides, and they kind of in a bottleneck. Amen. And something's got to happen. How many of you ever been in a bottleneck before? Where? Something's got to give, amen. We can't go forward, we can't go right or left, can't go backwards, and I really don't see the way to go forward. Amen, that's kind of where I'm at right now. I know the blessings of God are sure, and amen, but I'm in a bottleneck right now. I can't turn around, go back, I can't go right or left, and there's no way to go in front. And so they're encamped by the sea, and the Bible said they're there, and God is up to something. Hallelujah. It's not like this just happened and God all of a sudden said, uh-oh, I gotta do something. No. This is all by the aim of God. He told them where to go camp. He said, you camp right here between these two places, between Migdol and the sea. That's where I want you, because I'm gonna send word to Pharaoh that you're entangled in the wilderness. I'm going to send word to Pharaoh that I brought you out of Egypt, but you got in a tight place. And something's got to give. You know, you can't, you kind of hung up here. I'm going to send word back to Pharaoh and let him know that my people are entangled in the wilderness, and I'm going to speak to him and harden his heart, and he's going to come after you. God's up to something. He's using his people almost as bait against Pharaoh, because God's been waiting for 400 years for this day. He told Moses in the wilderness before he went to Egypt, he said, Pharaoh's not going to let you go. Not by a mighty hand. He's hard-headed. He likes the way it is. But I want to tell you something, Moses. I'm going to stretch out my hand against Pharaoh. And when I get through with Pharaoh, he's going to let you go. When I get through doing what I'm going to do, everybody in the world is going to know that there's a God in Israel. Come on, I'm preaching to you right now that the life you're living isn't just about your comfort. It isn't just about your happiness, but your life is about the world knowing that there's a God who can be trusted. There's a God you can put your faith in. There's a God you can put your hope in, and he will never, never let you down. I want to preach to somebody tonight that Lazarus died not as a mark against the family, but Lazarus died that the work of God could be made manifest in his life. So he says, you camp here, and I'm going to tell Pharaoh. I'll harden his heart, and he will follow after you. Watch this. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. So God puts a bug in Pharaoh's ear that God's people are encamped between Migdol and the sea, and they're entangled. They don't know which way to go. Their journey was kind of haphazard. If you study the journey after they left from Egypt and before they crossed the Red Sea, their journey kind of, it looks like they're kind of not knowing where they're going. They're kind of this way to that way and this way to there and zigzagging around, and God done it all on purpose. I want to tell you something here tonight. Maybe I'm just preaching to myself here tonight, and join in with me. But I want to tell you, sometimes when you're following God, it seems like, my Lord, does God even know where we're going? Does God even know where we're trying to go? Hey, amen. I need to get over there, but God's got me going over here. I want to preach to you tonight that God's always in control, and God always knows what he's doing. And not only does he know what he's doing, he's working something out so that he can get glory. He's working something out so that he can get honor. He's working something out so that people will know that God never makes a mistake, and God never misses a mark. So Pharaoh tracks their trip's progress. And he said, these people don't know where they're going. And now they're entangled at Migdol in the sea. I'm going to go get them. Why did we even let them go, he says. We had a good workforce and we let them go. Let's go get them. So they come, they go out. The Bible said Pharaoh took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them in camping by the sea beside Pihahiroth and Baal Zephon. And the Bible says that they turned around, and Pharaoh drew nigh. The children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. Now, before you throw off on the children of Israel, remember their mindset. They've been slaves for 400 years. They have no cognition of freedom. They have no understanding of being completely free. And they're on their way, they think, to a journey of freedom and blessing. And they get to the sea, and they're looking at the sea, and they're looking around them, and they're entangled in this wilderness, and then they turned around and looked behind them, and the Bible says they saw Pharaoh and his army marching toward them. I want to tell you something. There's something powerful about watching an army march. It's just maybe I'm one of the only people, but when I see an army marching, when I see a military parade, those men marching, it's almost like they're in unique step with each other, but it's almost like they're headed somewhere for a purpose. They're headed somewhere for a mission, and there's something awe-inspiring about an army marching. And I want you to imagine with me just for a few moments, as they're standing by this sea, their mindset is slavery. Their mindset is bondage. They've never known freedom. They've never known that freedom was possible for them. And they turn around, and all of a sudden, all those fears of 400 years, all those moments when Pharaoh would almost let them go and then change his mind, and they're encamped by the sea. They're looking at the sea. They're looking at the mountains, and they turn around all of a sudden, and they see all the king's horses and all the king's men. The Bible says every horse he could find, every soldier he could find, they're on their way after the children of Israel, and they're marching with purpose toward them. They're marching with purpose and mission after the children of Israel. And the Bible said they saw this great army, and they begin to think, oh my God, here we go again, 400 more years. We're never going to get there. We're never going to see what God wants us to see. We're never going to see the fulfillment of God's promises. We're never going to see the fulfillment of God's word that was spoken to me. I'm never going to see it. When I look at where I'm at and where God wants to take me, there's an impassable place between he and I, and there's an army marching after me. And they were afraid, Brother Sutton. It was impossible not to be afraid when he saw the army of Pharaoh marching after them. They begin to be afraid. They lift their voice. They begin to weep. Moses! Were there not graves enough in Egypt that they brought us out to the wilderness to kill us? Fear overtakes them. Their mindset, they can't escape it. Their mindset is slaves. The man's coming again. Here he comes. That mean old Pharaoh. Here he comes again. We'll never get away. We'll never get there. We'll never escape. God says, Moses, don't be afraid, because I'm the God that's doing this. Pharaoh was sucking his thumb, crying over all the lost kids in Egypt the last time you saw him. But I want to tell you something. He didn't come out here of his own accord. I brought him out here. I want to tell you something. Before you lay anything against God's charge, you ought to start thinking, why is God doing what he's doing? You ought to start saying, hey, God's still doing something for my good. He's still working it all out for my good. I know I'm caught up in a place that seems like I'll never get out. I'm caught up in a place I can't go forward or backward or sideways, but God knows where I'm at, and God's working on the scene, and God knows what he's doing. They said, were there no graves in Egypt? Is this not the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians, for it had been better for us to serve them rather than die in the wilderness. The mindset of slavery begins to get again. They said, we told you, Moses, we didn't want to be free. We told you we'd rather be servants than die. Moses said, hey, let me tell you something. Don't worry about it. Fear not. They didn't know where I was preaching tonight, but they sung my song. Stand back, step back. He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them no more forever. Moses said, hey, buddy, My God, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Maybe I'm just preaching myself out of something, but I'm telling you, I've been in a place where it's just like that. I've been standing there, God, what are you doing? Where are we going? What are we going to do? How are we going to get there? And all of a sudden, fear begins to grip your heart. Fear begins to grip your mind. You start saying, I never should have started on this journey. I never should have took this step of faith. I never should have went out. I should have just done what I was doing. But God said, no, 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 no. Fear not. You just stand still. You just stand here a little bit longer and see the salvation of the Lord. I'm going to do something in your day. Somebody ought to shout a little bit. God said, I'm working. It don't look like it, but I'm working. It don't sound like it, but I'm working. You just stand still and watch what I'm doing. And the Lord said unto Moses, the Lord shall fight for you. Hold your peace. Stand still. I'll tell you, one of the hardest things to do is to stand still when something needs done. One of the hardest things to do is to wait on God. Here's how I wait on God. I run around in circles trying all the doorknobs. But that doesn't do anything but frustrate me. Moses said, just stand still. Just stand still and watch. I'm doing something. I wonder what those people were thinking. Where are we going to go? How are we going to get out of this? There ain't no way out. That's Alabama. That's how you preach it in Alabama. There ain't no way. God said, just wait. Just wait. They're standing there. They're scared to death. It's easy to tell somebody not to be afraid. But it's hard to tell yourself not to be afraid. Don't be afraid. You can slap somebody on the back and say, hey, man, what you scared of? God's going to take care of us, and then you get there. You big chicken, you'll tell yourself, and you don't believe it. Yeah, I am a big chicken. Just watch, he says. And all of a sudden, and I'm closer to being finished than you think. They're standing there. They've been following this pillar of cloud. Wherever the cloud went, they went. And in the daytime, it's a cloud. In the nighttime, it's a fire. And they're following. Pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. Wherever it goes, they go. And they're following, they're following. All of a sudden, they're standing there. And they're on their way to the sea. And all of a sudden, the cloud moves from in front of them to behind them. That's when you say, even God don't know what he's doing. Wrong way, God. You ever told that to God? I have. Wrong way. Oops. Hey, no. Not that way. This way. The cloud moves from in front of them to behind them. And they turn around and they don't know it. Because the cloud is a light to them. They can see everything. They can see Pharaoh's army. They can see the mountains. They can see the sea. There was no sleeping that night. But the Bible says the cloud was light to them. But it was darkness to Pharaoh. Here's why. So that one came not near the other all night. Whoa. I know there was a little teenager that ran out there, and he's got as close as he can get to Pharaoh's army, and here comes Pharaoh's men, and what he don't know is the cloud that's lighting his night, the cloud that's showing him all the things that God's doing, the darkness covers the eyes of the Egyptians, and the Bible said they would have tried to get him in the night, but the cloud covered them so that one came not near the other. They're standing there watching Pharaoh's army go back and forth. They're standing there watching Pharaoh's army. They're as close as they've ever been, but something keeps happening. Every time they get close, they don't come near them. They go the other way because what God's doing. Oh my God, have mercy. It don't feel like it. It don't seem like it, but God is working. Now, we don't live in this kind of world anymore. Only a few kind of people know. If you're a hunter, you always know which way the wind's blowing. In fact, when you're getting ready to go hunting, that's the first thing you check. Which way's the wind blowing? If you are a hunter and you don't check which way the wind's blowing, your freezer will be sparse. Which way's the wind blowing? And you go outside, and you're getting ready. When you're off on a hunt trip, and everybody's getting ready to go, and you're just before daylight, and everybody's getting their clothes on, somebody will holler, which way's the wind blowing? And now we got our phones to tell us which way the wind's blowing. But used to, this is how we do it. We'd walk outside. You got to know what direction. Or this won't work. You go outside. Lick your finger and stick your finger up in there. Or we don't like licking our finger because it's cold where we hunt. And so we got these little bottles full of powdery looking stuff. And we walk outside and we squirt that powder up in the air and the wind blows it. It's a wind indicator. It shows which way the wind's blowing. And therefore, you go hunt a stand with the wind in your face. Now, the average person, when he gets ready to go to work, doesn't check which way the wind's blowing. I always know which way the wind's blowing. Try to keep, especially if I'm fishing or hunting, because the wind's important, those kind of things. And so these kind of people had an understanding of wind. And I'm going to preach to you here for a few minutes that Pharaoh had a little understanding about wind. Because while all of this is happening, it's dark. Cloud is shielding Pharaoh, and the cloud is covering and lighting God's people. But all of this time, the Bible says, all that night, a strong east wind is blowing. Now, I don't know how it happens over there, but in the United States, very rarely do you have a strong east wind. When the wind's out of the east, it's always light and variable. It's kind of a tricky wind. In fact, when the wind's blowing out of the east, there's an old saying, when the wind's out of the east, fish bite least. When the wind's out of the east, you just don't worry about going fishing or hunting because the wind, when it's out of the east, things aren't, the atmospheric pressure's off when the wind's coming out of the east. But the Bible said for the whole night, an east wind is blowing. Nobody pays attention to it, but it blows all night long. It's a strong wind. They're not paying attention to it because the average person, did anybody check the wind before you came to church tonight? Nobody did. You don't check the wind. You don't check which way the wind's blowing. But if somebody had a stepped outside and squirted their little wind indicator in the air, they would have known that God was up to something. The strong east wind. Psalm said, he bloweth the east wind and crushes the ships of Tarshish. Four chapters previous to this chapter, in chapter 10, God sent Moses to talk to Pharaoh. And he said, Pharaoh, let my people go. I'm going to show you something if you don't let my people go. In fact, God said, if you don't let my people go, I'm going to bring my locust from the coast into your cities. Pharaoh said, I ain't worried about locust. I ain't worried about God. And the Bible said, all of a sudden, when Pharaoh rejected God's offer, all of a sudden, for the rest of the day and the rest of the night, a east wind blew. Nobody paid attention to the wind. Nobody wondered which way's the wind going. It blew all day, a strong east wind, and all night. And the Bible said, when dawn broke, somebody stepped outside, and that east wind that God had been blowing all night blew in more locusts than anybody had ever seen. And they covered the camp. So much so that the Bible says you could not see the earth for them. And they ate up everything that the hail missed and everything that everything else had missed. And they ate up all the trees. I want to preach to you tonight that God said, if you don't move, Pharaoh, I'm going to show you something. And while the wind was blowing that night, God was working a work in that city. I want to preach to you tonight that I feel like Pharaoh, he had them in his hand when they were camped by the sea. But somebody must have knocked on his tent and said, hey, I don't know if you remember, but an east wind's blowing. It don't mean nothing. We ain't worried about locusts this time. They were fearful, Brother Sutton. The whole camp was fearful. God's people were frightened which way we're going. The Bible said they were sore afraid, but nobody knew it, and nobody checked it. But the Bible says somebody must have, because it's recorded. But all night long, brother, an east wind's blowing. It looks like God don't know where we're at. It looks like God doesn't know what's going on. It looked like God has forgotten us and we're going to be buried in the wilderness because there weren't enough graves in Egypt. But the whole time I'm complaining, the whole time I'm fearful, the whole time I'm trembling, the whole time I'm wondering what God's doing, a wind's blowing. And I can't see the wind. I can just feel the effects. I can't put my finger on the wind. But I've come to preach to somebody tonight that you need to step outside of your trouble. You need to step outside of your situation. You need to step outside of the situation that seems intractable. I'd say, God, I've come out to check the wind. Which way's the wind blowing? It don't feel like God's doing anything, but the wind's blowing. The wind's blowing. The wind is blowing. And I can't see what it's doing as the musicians come. I can't see what's happening. I can't see what's going on. But God's working for me because there's an east wind blowing. And the Bible said it blew all night. It's blowing. And when dawn broke, there were no locusts this time. But where there was no way, now there's a highway. Wouldn't you have loved to have been? One day, maybe when we get to heaven, God will translate us back and we can watch it. One of the cool things about, I know I talk a lot about it, but it's all I know. One of the coolest things about hunting is being set up in your spot. Doesn't matter what you're hunting, ducks or deer or whatever, turkeys, anything. One of my favorite parts of any day is when the light starts creeping in. Whatever time sunrise is, you can see about 45 minutes before sunrise. You're sitting there. It's just dark, Brother Terrell. In the dark, everything sounds big. When it's completely dark, an armadillo sounds like a man-eating tiger. Many times I've sat there in the pitch dark and closed my eyes because you don't need them anyway, you know. Your eyes confuse you in the dark. You be looking at the sound. You can't see nothing, and everything just maggot. But if you close your eyes and just listen, things make a little bit more sense. But my favorite part of the morning is when all of a sudden the light starts coming in and the darkness starts lifting. Now, if you don't have good binoculars, it takes you a while to see. But if you have good binoculars, you can see a lot earlier with your binoculars than you can with your eyes. And many, many times I've been sitting in a stand watching a big field or something, and I'll see something out there, and I'll think, "What, man, what is that? I can't tell what that is." Put my binoculars on it, and I say, "Oh, it's just..." Sometimes it'll be a deer, sometimes it'll be something. But I just... imagine, this is just my little boy reading the Bible imagination. Somebody gets up out of their camp. If anyone was able to sleep, it's still a little dark outside. Somebody stretches, goes outside and waters the camels, whatever they did, I don't know. And somebody looks out across the sea. Just a little bit before you can really see. I've seen stuff before. It's like you just convince yourself, no, you really didn't see that. Because it's dark. I can't make it out. Things look crazy in the dark. I got a friend one time told us he shot an 8-point. We got down there and with flashlights, and he'd shot a stump. He convinced himself that that was not just a deer, it was an 8-point. And so I see somebody, they're looking out across the sea, Brother Collins. And I think I see. They go get somebody. Hey, come here and look at this. Check this out. What is that? And as the light begins to grow, there's a highway in the ocean. There's a wall of water on the left and a wall of water on the right. And they said, "Why don't we go that way?" Seems pretty obvious. The decision is startlingly clear when there's a highway in the wilderness. But I want to tell you something. That if you have faith, when the wind starts blowing, it ought to be enough for you. I don't know what God's doing, but the wind's blowing. Hey, you ought to get your spirit up here tonight, and you ought to tell somebody, "Hey, I don't know what God's doing, but I can feel the wind blowing." Maybe it's just me. Y'all just join in me with my little celebration here tonight. I'm going to tell you, I've tried every doorknob there is to try in the last month. I don't know what God's doing with my family. I don't have a place to live. I'm living in my mom-in-law's house. I got money that nobody will take. I want to live here. We don't need it. We don't have anything. God, what are you doing? Where are you going with God? God, hey, God. I've been up at night, God, have mercy. But I'm telling you right now, I don't know what God's doing with my family. And I don't know what God's doing, but I can feel the wind blowing. And I've come to preach to somebody in this house tonight that you're standing by the sea. You can see Pharaoh's army marching. But I've come to tell you, stand still. Don't get afraid. Don't run out on God, because the wind is blowing. I can't see it all clear right now, but when morning comes, there's going to be a way in the ocean. There's going to be a way across the sea. And the Bible Bible says that they went across on dry ground. Just enough moisture to keep the dust down. Because when God does it, He does it all the way right. Can you imagine, brother? Let's me and you be children of Israel. Come on, help me. Walking on dry ground. You ever seen a wall of water? I never seen a wall of water. A wall of water on the right and a wall of water on the left. It's pretty cool, ain't it? Did you see this coming? Did you ever in your wildest dreams think that God was going to make a highway here? I'm going to tell you something. We used to sing another song. I don't know what He's doing, but whatever God's doing, it's going to be nice. I'd have been the little kid. I don't know if there's any little kids that did it, but I'm sure there are. Like icing on a cake, I'd have been over there on that, walking real close to that water. Just standing there. They come out on the other side, and I'm quitting. Moses said, okay, boys, turn around. They turned around, they're looking at their highway. Oh, I'm feeling too comfortable. Maybe one of them done like that. You thought you had us, didn't you? I thought it too. And I don't know what Pharaoh was thinking. Maybe God said, hey, why don't you try this out? Something tells me, Brother Sutton, if I was looking at a highway in the sea, I would probably say, if I'm after those people trying to kill them, I'd probably try to say something like, you know, that might not be for us. That ain't what Pharaoh did, though. He said, hey, they went, we can go. They get out of there in the middle. God says, all right, people. I'm fixing to get honor on Pharaoh's head. Moses, pull the plug! And the Bible said Moses stretched his hand out. And the sea went back, the Bible says. And Miriam, throw me a tambourine. Miriam saw it, and all of a sudden something came over. She got a tambourine and started dancing. The wind started blowing. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know what God was going to do, but the wind started blowing. And God was working for me when I didn't know what He was doing, when I couldn't see His way. The wind was blowing. Hallelujah. All I can tell you is the wind's blowing. And you can take whatever you want to take from this service, but I'm telling somebody, don't give up on God. Just stand still. You just stand still and see the salvation of God. Because it don't feel like nothing's happening. And it don't look like nothing's happening. And it's a dark night, but the wind's blowing. You're here tonight and you're standing at your Red Sea in the Spirit, I want you to come. God, I don't know where you're going. I don't know what you're doing. I can't trace what you're doing. I can't track it. Many times in my life, I've been able to track what God's doing. Kind of the way seems clear. But I've been in some places in the last little while. God, where we're going. Hey, where are we going? The wind's blowing. The wind's blowing. Come on, if you got the Holy Ghost, I want you to talk in tongues right now. Get your hands up. Get your spirit open in the name of Jesus. The wind's blowing. The wind's blowing. I come to give somebody a word tonight. Fear not. Stand still and see the salvation of God. God's working. God's working. God's working. I want you to put your hand on your neighbor's shoulder and pray in the Holy Ghost. The wind's blowing. The wind's blowing. Hey, I come to somebody. Come on. Come on. Get your faith up tonight. I don't know what God's doing, but it don't. But God, I'm a handy koshaya. God's working. God's working. The wind's blowing. The wind's blowing. The wind's blowing. Come on, somebody, step outside your tent and see if the wind's blowing. There's a strong east wind blowing. It blew all night. It blew all night. God's blowing the wind on my situation. Come on, get ready to sing. I'm telling somebody in the Holy Ghost right now that though you can't see it and though you can't trace it, God's working in your life. God's working in your situation. There's about to be a way that's never been more clear. There's about to be a way, a way, a way of escape, a way in the sea. The Lord brought us out. Come on, Messiah. I want you to get your hands up. Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost. If you need the Holy Ghost, lift your hands and receive it right now. Come on. They're about to sing. We're about to praise God. Somebody needs to get a tambourine and say, I don't know what God's doing, but the wind's blowing.
Oh, you can't tell me.
Whatever he does is going to be better than I've ever imagined. Whatever he does, it's going to be better than anything I could have thought. A highway in the sea.
He'll make a way.
Somebody ought to praise him. The wind's blowing. The wind's blowing. The wind's blowing.
I know he will.
He's going to make a way. He's going to make a way. He's going to make a way. Come on, take heart. Come on, have faith. He's going to make a way.
Yes, he will.
Seems to be no way.
I know he can.
He'll make a way.
Yes, he will.
There's a highway in the sea.
You can't tell me. God won't make way.
Oh, no.
power. God's going to make a way. God's going to make a way. God's going to make a way. I don't see where he's going. I don't see how we're going to get out. There's a highway in the wilderness. There's a highway in the sea. God knows how to take us out of our trouble.